This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
I wanted to show you my family first. We do have 9 children. 3 are married, so this is our family. We have 4 grandchildren, more on the way, and so this is us. 4 years ago, this week is the 4th anniversary of a very special week in my life. It's the anniversary of my brother's passing, my brother Matthew. Matthew was a fervent young man, a fervent older man too. He saw everything in black and white, and he was gifted. Mom used to say sometimes, "I think he's going to be a preacher." He was full of dreams and ambitions and worked alongside my dad and brother and lots of Amish employees at the family business. And he was just so passionate. He wanted wrongs made right. And he was brilliant. He had lots of ideas. And then something happened, and I don't know what it was, but something that hurt him very deeply. He packed up his family and went to the city of Columbus and lived there for more than 20 years. Although he still came to family gatherings, there was a distance. He was with us, but not with us. He just dealt with a lot of bitterness. And so then one day he was, to our dismay, diagnosed with cancer. And it was an aggressive cancer. But when he was diagnosed, his heart turned toward us. He started coming back, and we gladly turned our hearts toward him. And so the doctors didn't give him much time to live, so our family, to celebrate Mom's 80th birthday, we went to Florida, the siblings and Mom and Dad. We wanted to spend time with Matthew, too. And on Sunday morning, I remember, he was out walking on the beach alone and just meditating. And when he came in, he was agitated and excited. He said, "I've got to talk to all of you." And through tears, he told us what happened out there. He said, "I didn't hear an audible voice, but I may as well have." He said, I was just thinking. And it was like God told me, "Matthew, it is time to stop trying to figure out things with your head and just trust me with your heart." And he said, at that moment, a huge weight rolled off his shoulders. And on that beach, he found life-changing Gelassen Heights. When Hosea and I went to tell him goodbye, he had only a few days left. I watched him with my dad at his side, and they were planning his funeral. He asked for a casket that was made at the family business that he had left, and he said he'd be honored to be buried in the little Amish cemetery where my dad told him he was going to be buried. He even asked to have a German song sung at his funeral. Just so many touches from the culture and the people that he had, that had caused him pain, that he'd been bitter toward, but now he was so changed and so at peace. So I, when it was my turn to tell him goodbye, I hugged him and I whispered things in his ears and prepared to leave, but I felt like I had to ask him. I just had to know, what does it feel like? I know I could die tomorrow, so technically maybe we're at, you know, I'm as close to dying as you are, but how does it feel to know that you will die in a few days? And I asked, "Are you excited or are you scared?" And he struggled to tell me because it was hard to talk, but he said, "Oh, there's just peace. It's okay." And he kept trying to find the words. He said, "You know, we talk about non-resistance. This is non-resistance. It's just good. What is good." And as he kept trying, Dad beside him said, "Do you mean Gelassen Heights?" And he said, "Yes." And this beautiful, serene look on his face. And then He turned to me and he said, "People think it's pretty amazing how peaceful I am right now, looking at death." But he said, "If you can find this peace where you are right now, you know, fully alive, that's more amazing." And I have to confess, I was struggling a lot. We had just come to Faith Mission, and I was not okay with letting go the things that I had to let go. And, you know, I said, "Matthew, I know God is talking to me through you, and I will accept it as that." And so, although it wasn't as drastic and as beautiful, I was changed too that day. And so that is why, partly, a lot, why the word Gelassenheit has become very special to me. Also because I am Matthew's sister. I am passionate. I want wrongs righted, and I am like him, so I need Gelassenheit. And I've seen a pattern in which God asks me to talk about the things that I especially need. It's how he gets me to slow down and think about it. So please don't think that I've got this figured out and I'm here to deliver the goods to you. I am learning. Why do you think, and I know what's going to happen, I'm not used to doing slides, so I will get behind and confused here, but bear with me. Why do you think that we need Gelassenheit, or to be serene? And please feel free to interact. I know the group is very large, but I'd love to hear from you. Anyone want to venture? God asks it of us is one, and it brings peace and blessing. But most of all, when you see someone with Gelassenheit, it brings glory to God. So I had to think of, okay, here's a picture I wanted to show you. I wanted to tell you about a study that was done on a group of people who lived to be 100 years or more. And researchers really wanted to know what was the common thread that helped these people to live as long as they did. They couldn't find anything. Some smoked, some drank, some ate at McDonald's, you know, it was just nothing. Until they realized that every one of them were laid back and did not get easily excited. So, I have said, "I believe I will die young." But I love this picture. I want to be like this if I get old. Now, I think a lot of you have heard of Jacob and his situations. This is I don't know if he's an ex-Amish, or he definitely has Mennonite in his background. He is a comedian, and he calls himself Jacob, and he has situations. And so that word situations just keeps coming to me as I think of Gelassenheit, because it is the situations in our lives that make us struggle with Gelassenheit. So we're going to talk about situations. Let me go back here. But I need your help. What are some situations that you and I face? And just because you call it out doesn't mean that you're dealing with it. But just help me. Let's talk about situations that we women sometimes smack into, and just it gives us issues.
Our children,
because we love them so much, and we're terrified they'll never turn out, or something like that. What else?
Aging parents.
So true.
Busy schedules.
More.
Disappointing relationships. Constant demands of needs.
Do they all have to be big? At Faith Mission, we have the term wadded, because when people get upset, we say, "Oh, they're wadded." We can get wadded about the smallest things, can't we? Yeah. It can be little things. It can be anything from a troubled marriage to realizing you've purchased the wrong kind of socks for your boys again. You know, just we need help. A word picture that has helped me so much is that God uses our situations to hew that yucky charcoal off of us to expose the beautiful diamond that he wants us to be. And when we don't respond right, we just add crud back onto it instead of, but when, and he also, we could also say he puts us in a rock tumbler. I didn't know what a rock tumbler was until recently, but it's where you put ugly stones in it, and it goes round and round with a whole bunch of grit and sand. You go in like the ugly stones, and you come out like the beautiful colored ones. So if we choose the right respond, we emerge beautifully. But when we respond with resentment and bitterness, those situations and people actually end up controlling us. We are controlled by the people we resent and are bitter toward, or the situations. And so often we don't admit it, but we're actually bitter toward God, because it all goes back to what he allows in our lives. We're so controlled. Our emotions, our thoughts, our health, even right down to our glands that secrete harmful hormones in our physical makeup when we do not respond right to situations. So we need to talk more about what Gelassenheit actually means. It's a German word, as you know, and it just embodies so much: serenity, surrender, yieldedness, soul peace, acceptance, and submission. It's gladly accepting God's will instead of resisting it. And it's working, striving by not working and striving, but resting and trusting to align our will with God's instead of begging him to change things to suit our will. And this is the first day of REACH, but already I've seen a common thread through the workshops. I mean, some of the things that are in my notes I've already heard a few times, so maybe God has something special for this REACH. But really, I was thinking, well, maybe it could be summed up by the motto that's on my wall. I just love this motto because I need it. I need to look at it. But it's even more than that. It's more than making the best of things. If I had to choose just one word for Gelassenheit, I think it would be serenity. Let's all read this together and just really understand what it's saying. God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. I think we could sit here and read that several times over and think about it and go home and be changed. It's beautiful. But I think that this really sums up well what I understand Gelassenheit to mean. It's more than being laid back and lackadaisical. It's changing things that we can change, but it's being okay with the things we cannot change. So as I said, I'm a struggling instructor of Gelassenheit, but I feel like in the past months or whatever, God has been showing me just practical tools that we can use to attain more Gelassenheit. So if you're interested, open up your imaginary bags, and as we discuss each tool, throw it in. And the first one I have is make your spirit the boss. We are a triune being, and I think David talked about this in the session before this. We're spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit is our intuition, how we communicate, or the communion with God, and our conscience. Our soul is intellect, emotions, your free will, and your mind. And everybody knows what your body is. The problem is that so many times we have the wrong person in charge here. We have the wrong third in charge. Women especially, I think, are very emotional. And so I have to be careful. I keep realizing that I've put my soul in charge. And this makes a big mess. I mean, do you have emotions that are steady, dependable, and cause you to make good judgments? Raise your hand. Or stand up, because we really want to look at you. We want to put you in a museum. Proverbs says that a woman that has no control over her emotions is like a city that has broken down walls. You know, when we live by our feelings and our emotions, we are broken down walls. And that's when these lies come in that we believe. So many lies. Recently, I was confronted with just a boatload of information that made me feel physically ill because it was about somebody I loved. And oftentimes, I would have reacted with just a storm of emotions. Maybe I wouldn't be saying anything, but my head would just be swirling. But because this study was fresh in my mind, I begged for help to step outside of me and observe what was going on here. And so it was like I went to my spirit and looked in at what was happening here, and I was able to watch and listen through a calm. Sure, it made me physically sick, but my head was clear. And I said, thank you, Lord. This is how I need to live all the time. It was like my spirit in that instance was in charge. So I'm going to talk to you about a book, a DVD we've been introduced to and just love. And I feel like I'm pulling on britches that are way too big for me when I try to explain this to you, but it's so exciting. If I make a mess of it, please just go and get the book and read for yourself. And I do want to make a disclaimer. Always there are things that you may not agree with, but it's pretty amazing. Dr. Caroline Leaf is a neuroscientist who has been studying the human brain from a Christian viewpoint for more than 30 years. And she's actually written many books, but this is the one we've been looking at and have been so really changed by it. This is the DVD series and her books. And what is so exciting is that she talks a lot about renewing your mind. And she tells you that what we've been told, that our brains cannot change, is not true. Because our brains are plastic. Not plastic as we think of it, but she means that they can be changed. But she says that thoughts are real physical real estate. When our minds allow thoughts into our brains, our minds either wire good thoughts or bad thoughts into our brains. And they actually now take pictures of thoughts. Does that blow your mind? hope not. But it is really amazing. And like I said, I don't do a good job of explaining it. But the moral of the story is your soul, which is your mind, has the ability to allow good trees, healthy trees, or toxic thoughts that grow into yucky trees. Your brain grows whatever your soul, your mind, allows. So she says, choice is real, free will exists. You're able to stand outside yourself, look at your own thinking, consult with God, that's your spirit, change the negative, toxic thought, or grow the healthy, positive thought. When you do this, the Holy Spirit takes charge of your thoughts, your brain responds with a positive neurochemical rush and structural changes that will improve your intellect, your health, and your peace. Now, I want to be clear. I wish I could be more clear. The first step, as you know, is to be born again. And when we are, our spirit is plugged in to the Holy Spirit. People who are not born again are not regenerated. They are degenerated. Generation is power. You know, think of your cell phone, your battery pack, or whatever. When you're plugged into the Holy Spirit, you've got power. If you're not born again. But when we have the wrong order, we go by our soul, our feelings, and everything. We're sort of like the people who are not plugged in because our power is there, but we're not using it. Does that make sense? So being plugged into the Holy Spirit with our soul and it all, what if we would prove to our husbands and the other men around us that we actually can make decisions without a lot of emotions involved? That would be great, wouldn't it? But so there's so much more. I wanted to show you. Oh, and yes, she brings out all the scriptures, and the scriptures take on new meaning when you look at it like that. It's called renewing our minds. Dr. Leaf also explains that it takes time to build toxic trees in your brain, in your thinking. It also takes time to send them out and bring new ones in. So renewing your mind is a process. And I think it's a day-by-day thing where you work on this and you build a habit of only allowing good things whatsoever. Things are noble, right, true, and pure, lovely, and all those things. You don't have to let that stuff come in. You have a choice. We have a choice. And I kept noticing these verses, a lot of them talk about the peace that will ensue, the gelassenheit. It's so exciting. And so because I am not doing the best job of explaining all this, I would encourage you to try to get a hold of the material and see what you think. Okay. Another interesting thing about that is renewing our mind is so important for us, just as we live day by day. But it's not only important for us. Science finds that what we think and the kind of thought life we have, the habits we form, they do not only affect us. Our thoughts today may affect our children. She says that DNA is zipped up, but when we think thoughts, we create protein, and there's something in the process that unzips that DNA, and voila, our crazy thinking gets into the DNA. And it adds up to what Scripture says, where it says that things will go on to the third and the fourth generations. However, so because of how we're designed, we may be predisposed
but we are not predestined. We are not victims. We are victors. And I need you to understand that very well. Because you do not throw up your hands and say, well, this is what my mom did. I just can't help it. You can. Because your brain is plastic. You're in charge of your thoughts. Because you're plugged into the Holy Spirit, you've got power, love, a sound mind. We're not victims, we're victors. So start working on it now. One thing that is helpful is for you to tell your children your weaknesses. Confess to them the things that have been in your past and tell them, guard against these things because you may have inherited a weakness in this area. You might be saying, aw, are you serious? But what do you have to lose besides your dignity and letting your children know that you have been bad in the past, you know? And that's really actually good for us and good for them to know that we have been there, but we've come away from it. And we don't want them to have the same handicaps. So that was a very long number one tool. But the second one is, and here's the picture of the thoughts. Trees. And we are not victims, we are warriors. Number two tool is know God. And we do this by engrafting his word. Just know him. I was debating whether I have time to go into this, but there's an exciting new word that I discovered, and it is the Hebrew word yada. You know how we say yada, yada, yada? Well, you'll never think of it the same again. In the Bible, it is used to talk about intimacy. And for Adam and Eve, when Adam knew Eve, Adam, yada, Eve. Physical intimacy. But that's not all. It also talks about yada as in when David was praising, worshiping God, and he said, you know me, you know, God, and it's for us knowing God and God knowing us. Yada simply means to know and be known. So God wants us to know him and be known by him. He wants to yada with you and me. Little side note, I guess, but yada is used for the physical intimacies in the Bible that are legit. The ones where it is not, for instance, was it Lot and his daughters? Yada is not used there. Something else is used. So, yada is to know and be known. God does not just want a casual relationship. He wants an intimate relationship with you and me. And when we yada with God, it's going to be easier to have gelassenheit, won't it? Because we know him. When you know somebody, you trust him. Okay, and he says in John 14:21, when we know him and keep, wrap up, guard his commandments, just like the stem that's wrapped up so that we engraft his word and then we keep it, we wrap it up, we hold it close. Then what does he do? Anyone? If you keep my commandments, I will manifest myself to you. Who doesn't want to see Jesus? He wants to show himself, but we've got to do this first. And then just see him. Number three, see him in everything, like everyday life. Just watch for the ways that God is working and just see him. Don't overlook. Three is see him. Four is love your offenders. I know that a lot of our situations include people, and so we are asked to do good to them, bless them, and pray for them. Number five,
do not entertain fear. What are some fears we deal with? Just shout them out. Sorry?
That our husband will die.
More.
What people think.
Yes. What people think.
Failure.
Failure. What could happen to my children?
Sickness.
Sickness.
Fear of the unknown.
Change. We are afraid so many times of so many things. We're afraid that that God isn't quite able to take care of things. We're afraid he needs our assistance. And we're like the fretful child who questions her loving mother about the basic care in her life. How ridiculous. You know, Mom, are you sure you can take care of me? Will you really feed me? That's how we are sometimes. But power, love, and a sound mind. He says we've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Number six is called Let It Go, Sister. We were exchanging stories with my son-in-law and around the table, and Javon said that he was tilling the garden, and the tiller hit a rock and went crazy. He lost control of the thing, and it was just going faster and faster. And, you know, his instinct was just to clutch the handles, and he just held on to it. And he said, I went right through the fence. And he said, if only I'd let go. And then my son Marcus said, yeah, I was tilling down at the bottom of our sloping garden. Same thing happened to me. I didn't let go either. I fell on my belly, and I was still hanging on. And by the time I got to the top, there was soil in my britches. If only they would have let go, right? But we feel like we need to control our circumstances, don't we? There's fear, and there's a need to control. Our lack of trust in a capable God keeps us from letting go. Even a light hold, though, is wrong. Why is it that we don't put our baby children or even our older children, what about our teenagers? Why don't we just put them in charge of the household? We should, because they doubt our judgment. They don't agree with us sometimes, right? They should just be allowed to have some control, don't you think? But that is how we, of course, that's absurd, but that's sort of how we think sometimes. And I am borrowing this Let It Go, Sister from an article in August 2018, Calvary Messenger, where Susan Slaybaugh, I just loved her article. And before I go further, though, I want to show you this book. This helped me tremendously in understanding that I really can let go. I don't have to carry that burden anymore. This is Daughters of Sarah by Genevieve White. And I'm not sure if they'll have it at the bookstore or not, because I handed in the recommendation a little bit late, but hopefully it's there. I would love for all of you to have a chance to read this. It really changed the way I looked at the thing of letting go of control. Susan says, we women are natured to nurture. But, you know, we tend to nurture, and we nurture our husbands and our children and our surroundings to death. We think that without our micromanaging, our families or the organizations we serve will deteriorate beyond repair. They just need us so much, don't they? You know, she reminds us that we put ourselves in bondage by insisting on having control. She says that thing that greets us at the door, keeps us awake at night, meets us in the morning, and breathes down our neck and slaps us around all day long is like, yeah, and you know, we know what that is. But it's like the disease that bowed down the crippled woman in Luke 13. For 18 years, she hobbled underneath the burden. Then Jesus called her to him, and he said, "Woman, thou art loosed." Immediately she was straightened. It sort of gives me goosebumps. A woman who is free from the burden of control, just lightened by serene trust, just a woman of Gelassen height. Isn't that a lovely picture? And the glory that she brings to her Heavenly Father. Just let it go, sister. The lies we believe is the next tool. Do not allow the lies. And here's a book that can help you with that. Number 7 is do not allow lies. Choose truth. Number 8 is give up rights. Deserve nothing. As children of God, we are asked to do things that are impossible in the flesh, like yielding up our rights. And here's where your free gift for attending the workshop comes in, that little piece of toilet paper. I would like for you to think about the rights that you have that are hard to let go. A right to a full night's sleep, a right to knowing what the future holds, a right to being recognized in your workplace, your place of service, a right to a decent spouse. I think you know the rights that you're struggling to give up. Write it on that piece of toilet paper, and the next time you visit the washroom, take it and flush it down the commode. You're going to want to get it back, but you don't really want to go there. We're just born feeling like we have rights. And this is my granddaughter, Shania. She was born without a right hand. And notice I did not say her right hand, because there never was her right hand. God never gave her one, and here she is today. Number 9 is dedicate everything to God that we hold dear. We've just got to give it back. He asks us to dedicate our bodies. And this is helpful if you've been violated. We hear so many stories, but there's something about dedicating your everything you are and have back to God. It belongs to Him. And then when someone violates you, it's His body that they violated. And it's just a comfort. And we know that we cannot be violated without, one part of us cannot be violated without affecting another part. But it is true, they can hurt our bodies. They cannot destroy our spirits. They can also hurt our souls. They can't destroy our spirits, though. And it was interesting to think about Daniel. The most brutal thing that almost could be thought of happened to him. He was made a eunuch, but his spirit was strong. God is a God of compensation, and I know that He will compensate for Shania's little stub, no hand. He is a God of compensation. What He takes away, when He takes away, He gives us something else. He closes doors, He opens better ones. And this is helpful in embracing the Gelassen height. The next one I have is remembering His works. Could it be that we struggle to have Gelassen height because we forget who He is, who we are not, what He's done? We forget to build stones of remembrance. We don't have all the feasts and everything that He asked of His people long ago, but we forget. We just sort of go cruising through, and like someone said this morning, God is our buddy, and we've got to remember. And my Kenya sisters helped me to do this. One morning I went to church, and afterward they were asking me, where's Mama Sue? And I said, oh, Mama Sue is sick. She's preparing to go to America, and she really does not have time to be sick. And they looked at me shocked. They said, Sister Bernice, don't. God has planned it that way. You cannot say she doesn't have. She has time to be sick. And they looked like they were afraid God would strike me down on the spot. So they taught me to remember who God is. And of course, 11 is give thanks. I have a friend, Elsie, who's partially paralyzed for many years now. It's hard for her to get around. And probably one of her biggest disappointments is not being able to hold her grandbabies, but she is a cheerful woman, a serene picture of Gelassen Height. I asked her one time, what is your secret? And she said, Bernice, I've got to thank God for the things he's given me. And she said, I don't feel like it in my emotions, but I have to thank him. It's the only way that I can cope. She said, it's okay to be in dark places. You know, we all go through times where we can't see. It's dark. But she said, you've got to come back out. And thanking him with your will is key. Praise is another tool that is just brings peace. It's effectual but underutilized, as Sylvia Gunter puts it. And here's a very important one. You've got to ask why. You've got to ask why. We've been told not to question God. That's right. We shouldn't say, are you sure you know what you're doing? But you have to ask, what do you want me to learn? What's the benefit? What good thing is going to happen out of this? And that brings Gelassen Height. Understand the benefits. That's number 14. And I could give you many stories here, but my time is leaving me. And rejoicing. I have a picture of a duck because a duck has an oil gland down at the base of her tail, and she preens daily. And that is like we need to do. We need to apply the oil. We need to be anointed with the oil of joy. Just rejoice in hard times. And then I have, but what if I just still can't get rid of this darkness? I can't move out of it. There's acknowledging strongholds, number 16. There's crying out. Did you know crying out is different from just praying? He wants to hear us cry out. We need to clean house, make sure that there's nothing that's hindering. And I just want to say, be careful what you bring home from foreign fields. This one is key. Disciple someone. It will really, really help you. If you're struggling, disciple someone. Find someone. I love it that I have so many opportunities to do that at Faith Mission Home. And have a great response. This acronym can help you remember. You give thanks. You rejoice. And graph God's word. Appeal to him. Help me, Lord. Cry out to him. And then triumph by doing good works to those who have hurt you. I think I'm out of time. Are you? Okay. So I just want to tell you yet about the eagle. We can think of an eagle because in Psalms 103 it says, who satisfies your mouth, your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation? With good, so that your youth renewed is like the eagles, or strong, overcoming, and soaring. An eagle can lift off at lightning speed when danger bears down, so fast. And we also should lift away from toxic thoughts and bad things. When an eagle tries to lift a fish that's too heavy, he puts it back down and eats part of it so that the weight is more evenly distributed. Gelassen Height includes being balanced in all areas. An eagle takes advantage of strong winds, leans himself into them, relaxes, and is carried by them. We also can lean into the winds of adversity and grow and just be carried. Eagles also have feathers that are cleaned and oiled, and that to me just talks about the joy. They soar high above the storms, and so can we. If we know God, trust him, we don't have to have control, we're free. We're straightened. Let it go, sister. And this is the eagle. And this is a picture of my brother's hand out there on the beach. And the verse is, one day I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I'm sorry, we don't have time for questions and answers. Is that right? We're done. Okay. Thank you for being a good audience, and Gelassenheit to you.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.